Welcome to Adventures on Awe Island.
Chapter 1, Going Home, Part 1. Marie's alarm clock played a cheerful tune, beckoning her awake. She didn't need further encouragement, because today was the day she had been looking forward to since she had moved over 7 months ago. She was going back to Awe Island to spend spring break with her two best friends, JJ and Christian. Her suitcase had been packed for days, sitting by her bedroom door at the ready. Since moving last August, Marie had made her home in the university town where her dad had gone to school. He was now a professor of botany, leading a research team looking for medicinal plants. This week, he and Marie's mom were heading out to do field research, where they would stay in tents somewhere remote and search for samples of certain species of plants to study. It was the trip of a lifetime for her dad. And her mom, a hospitalist who enjoyed science of any kind, seemed excited to go along too. Marie, on the other hand, was very glad not to be going. Her parents had offered to send her to Awe Island to visit her friends instead, and she had gratefully chosen Awe Island. Spending the week with JJ and Christian there suited her much better. Throughout the school year, Marie had stayed in close touch with JJ and Christian, getting all the good gossip on their classmates and goings-on around the island. Even so, in some ways, it felt like she had been gone forever. She had grown a couple of inches and was nearly 11 now. Not only did she feel older, she also felt more mature, more capable. But somehow, she secretly feared that maybe too much would be different and that visiting would never feel the same as when she lived there. Even now, a nervous energy bubbled under her skin like fizzy soda in spite of her excitement. Would it feel weird to be back on Awe Island? Or would it feel like she'd never left? Had so much changed that she no longer would feel like she belonged, even though she had spent the first 10 years of her life there? Awe Island had a smaller, more tight-knit community than this university town where her new home was. Now, Marie was accustomed to riding the bus to school instead of walking or riding her bike. And here, she didn't even know many of the students in her year. On Awe Island, she had known everyone. It had taken a while to settle in, but she'd made friends and embraced the rhythm of her new environment. Saskia, in particular, had become a good friend. She was fun, trustworthy, and easy to confide in. She and Marie both loved animals and art, and Saskia was bold and courageous, two traits Marie admired. Saskia also had a dog, LD, who was really cute and sassy to boot. He was a little dog that believed he was the biggest dog in town, a fearless ball of joyful energy, kind of like Saskia herself. To Marie, it felt like she and Saskia had known each other for a really long time, even though they'd only met last year. Marie wasn't sure why it felt that way, but she was grateful for it. Knowing Saskia had made settling in easier. Their friendship was effortless. Marie dressed quickly and began to pack the last items in her backpack that she would carry on the plane. She couldn't forget her detective's journal, which had been her constant companion, while she, Christian, and JJ took on their quest on Awe Island last year. She found the journal in her desk drawer, turned it to the first blank page, and wrote today's date, Friday, the 20th of March, 2026. Before noting anything else, she flipped back into the journal to examine her date log. She realized that it had been exactly 1 year since she had found the original map hidden in the library book. What an interesting coincidence, she thought. As important as the journal had been to her last summer, it had been gathering dust in her desk since she moved. She hadn't had any new information to input, and she hadn't felt like perusing the old clues. It made her homesick for her two best friends, JJ and Christian, and for her life on Awe Island. Today was different. She was going back for an entire week and staying with JJ's family, and she couldn't wait. Turning back to her new journal entry, she wrote two words, going home. Then she stowed the journal in her backpack. She was about to close her desk drawer when she saw another item inside, the book that had appeared in the hidden pocket of her backpack on the day she had left Awe Island. She knew she hadn't placed it there, but had no idea who had or when. It was titled, A History of Awe Island. The book itself was relatively thin and lightweight, so it could have been in her backpack a while, and she may simply not have noticed it. Finding it in her backpack on the way to the airport as she left was a difficult moment. When the surprise wore off, seeing the book just made her sad. Even though she had tried so hard to get her hands on it while she had been living on Awe Island, when she was leaving, she didn't even want to open the cover because the thought made her intensely homesick. She'd hidden it in her desk drawer under her detective's journal, waiting for the day she would feel ready to finally read it. Now, so many months later, it was still unopened, and she finally felt a twinge of curiosity. She was about to open the book when her mom called. Marie, breakfast. We have to leave for the airport soon. Coming, she replied. Quickly, she tucked the History of Awe Island book into her backpack next to her journal. Maybe she would read it on the plane. Downstairs, Marie headed into the kitchen. Her mom was already at the table eating. Breakfast today was cold cereal, so they wouldn't dirty any extra dishes before the family left for the week. Perfect. Her stomach was doing flip-flops, so she thought a small bit of cereal was about all she could eat at the moment anyway. Her dad entered the kitchen with a serious look on his face and joined them at the table. He spoke as he served himself some cereal. Once we get to the airport, we'll check in together. Then your flight leaves first, Marie. We'll walk you to your gate and be with you until you board. The flight attendants will keep an eye on you during the flight, in case you need anything. And once you land, a chaperone will meet your plane and make sure you locate JJ's parents at arrivals. I know, Marie said. They'd been over this countless times. She wasn't scared of being on the plane by herself. In fact, she was excited about the prospect. It made her feel grown up. We know you'll do great, her mom said. And I bet you can't wait to see JJ and Christian, she added with a big smile. Marie nodded. JJ and Christian, her two best friends in the whole world. It would be wonderful. A sudden thought flashed through her mind like a firework. I have to do something, she said urgently, before darting away from the table, up the stairs, and back into her bedroom. In her treasure box was a tiny pin bearing the symbol of the Visiberry Society. She couldn't forget to bring it. She wrapped it in a few tissues and zipped it into a small pocket inside her backpack for safekeeping. She didn't want to lose it at the airport. Then she finished getting ready to go, brushing her teeth and combing her hair. As she prepared, Marie thought more about that tiny pin that meant a great deal to her. It was a symbol of her provisional membership in the Visiberry Society, a special group of people on Awe Island. She, JJ, and Christian had worked so hard last year to earn their pins. They'd had to solve countless riddles and follow clues and make discoveries that led them to the ultimate test. Four difficult tasks that required a myriad of skills to successfully complete. If they did a task wrong or quit at any point, they would have failed the test and never found out what they were working towards. Instead, they had worked together as a team, step by step, task by task, supporting each other and taking turns leading the charge as their unique skill sets warranted. It had been exciting at times and frustrating at times. There were so many moments Marie feared they would fail, but they persevered, and it had absolutely been worth the effort. They were rewarded with an amazing ceremony around a fire pit in the park, as their parents and members of the Visiberry Society applauded their determination and gave space to hear their thoughts about their journey. Then, they were welcomed into the society. As provisional members, they had 1 year from that evening to complete a few more tasks. JJ and Christian firmly insisted on waiting for Marie's return to Awe Island to begin. She knew her best friends were eager to get started. They'd already been forewarned that their first task was to create a new set of clues for other kids to find. Marie fidgeted in anticipation. She wasn't sure if there were rules they had to follow or how they would do it just yet. She definitely wanted to bury a treasure somewhere, and she liked writing riddles that rhymed. But she wanted to find a different starting point than the style of map the previous kids had left for them. That had been too ambiguous and sent them to the wrong location at first, and they'd almost quit in frustration. Marie had another thought. When they'd had trouble with the clues, they'd had the help of Visiberry Society members. But without knowing when the next kids would find their clues, who would be around to help them? After all, Sophos, the first person to help, was very old, and he had been gone a long time now from Awe Island. Madame Amato, the ice cream shop proprietor, who'd also been instrumental in their success, was very old too, and she had also been gone a long time. Both had left for a location unknown, with their return dates uncertain, if ever. According to JJ and Christian, Xander and Kiki were still tending Amato's ice cream in Madame Amato's absence, and they were also Visiberry Society members. So maybe they would have answers to Marie's questions. A doorbell rang just as Marie was drying her hands in the bathroom. Who would be coming to their door so early on a random Friday morning? It was very unusual. She heard the door open, followed by a brief conversation that was too muffled to decipher, and then the click of a door as it closed once more. "Marie, you have a package," her dad called up the stairs. "When you come down, bring your suitcase. We have to leave for the airport." A package? Marie thought. For me? Her mind filled with possibilities. Had JJ and Christian sent her something? Quickly, she shoved her favorite midnight blue hoodie, the one with the silver sparkly stars embroidered on the back, into her backpack. She couldn't forget that either. She donned the backpack, then carried her suitcase downstairs. Both of her parents were in the living room waiting for her. Her dad held out a rectangular package. It was wrapped in brown craft paper and addressed to her in unfamiliar handwriting that looked like it belonged to an adult. There was no return address. "Did JJ or Christian send you something?" her mom asked. "I don't know," Marie said. She took the package thoughtfully. Her detective's mind considered the clues. the handwriting was unfamiliar, and there were no doodles or decorations on the package like Kristen or JJ would have added. Marie was immediately certain it had not been sent by either of them. "Why don't you open it?" her dad said. Marie nodded and tore the paper away. Inside was another book, one that had been impossible to find last year, one that she had been told had been too damaged to repair, one that Marie had thought might be lost forever. For a moment, Marie could only stare at the cover, her mouth open in shock. The chosen three sat in her hands, in perfect condition. Marie is headed back to Awe Island to spend spring break with JJ and Kristen. Will she find out who sent her the chosen three when she arrives? Find out when the adventure continues in our next episode of Adventures on Awe Island.
Thanks for listening to Adventures on Awe Island. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss an episode.